We sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Then we sang, "Where He leads, I'll follow." And if the Lord is willing, when the lesson is over, we're going to sing, "Who Will Follow Jesus?" Jesus Christ, the man, lived nearly 2,000 years ago in a faraway place that most of us, maybe all of us, have never been. He wore different kind of clothes than we wear, and he spoke a different language than we speak. He only lived to be about 33 years old. Why would you sing these songs about following that man? "I Will Follow Jesus" is what we sang. And our lesson this morning is taken from a text that indeed talks about following Jesus. So if you have your Bibles open, I want to read the verses that you see on the chart in John chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Down to verse 7. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired man and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now, in the context, the good shepherd is compared to thieves and robbers. I don't know a lot about sheep or shepherding sheep. What makes a good shepherd? I'm going to have to depend on somebody that knows more about sheep and shepherding to know that. And so, if you look at Psalm 23, and if you have a marker in your Bible, you may want to put it there because we'll be going back between John 10 and Psalm 23 on several occasions in our study. Psalm 23, look at the superscription to the psalm. Who wrote it? It was a man who knew something about being a shepherd. He knew something about being a good shepherd. David. And he says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. that good? Look at the next line. I shall not want. Now that's a good shepherd. A shepherd that provides for every need that a sheep may have, so that he's lacking in nothing. I shall not want. Well, what's entailed in a shepherd providing that kind of leadership? First, there's guidance and provision. If you look at Numbers chapter 27, the time of Moses, you have a statement made that gives us some insight about the need for sheep to have a shepherd to give them guidance. In verse 16, Moses was praying to God. He said, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd." So the people of Israel, Moses said, as he prayed to God, they need a leader, because sheep need a leader. He likened them to sheep, and sheep that have no shepherd, as Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 alludes to, will go astray. They'll go to their own way. Instead of making the choices they need to make, they'll make bad choices and get themselves in trouble. And therefore, you need someone to provide the guidance and the provision that will secure their well-being. Now, if you look back at Psalm 23 and verse 2, this is the very idea. After saying the Lord is his shepherd, he lacks nothing, I shall not want, the very next thing that he alludes to is this idea of leadership. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If you were a shepherd, would you know what kind of pasture and where to find a good pasture to take the sheep? You may have good intentions and mean well, but if you didn't know where the pasture was, and if you weren't willing to exert the effort, it may be far away, it may be on the top of a mountain, to lead the sheep there, the sheep would definitely be wanting. And when they get thirsty, where will they drink? Not any source of water would be good for them. Quiet waters, waters that will be nourishing, waters that will be healthy. You need a sheep, someone to lead us, to provide the guidance where we'll get the provision that is so critical to the sheep's well-being. Well, you look at John chapter 10 now, where we took our text from. In John chapter 10, verse 3, he said, "The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by his name and leads them out." That very concept of leadership is right here in this analogy that Jesus is drawing in chapter 10. Now, why do they follow him, verse 4? It says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The word "know" here is used in the sense of trust. They know this shepherd. Apparently, maybe based on past experience with him. I don't know enough about sheep and shepherds to know how that relationship is established. But be that as it may, these sheep know this shepherd will guide them to good pastures and quiet waters and will provide the guidance and the provision that they need. That man Jesus that we talked about at the very beginning of our lesson is gone. He's not on the earth anymore. But he knew he was leaving, and on the night of his betrayal, and he would be crucified the very next day, he was talking to certain men that he chose as his special ambassadors or messengers or apostles. And in John 16 and 13, he said to them that he was going to send to them the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who would reveal the truth. the truth that men need for their guidance in the ways of salvation. Look, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me. So Christ came to provide what men need, but then He left, but He said, I'm going to provide the guidance men need so they can know about the glory of My work. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Back to our text in John chapter 10. Look at verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice. Now note, hearing His voice and believing are synonymous ideas. It's not just hearing a sound. It's hearing the voice of the shepherd and trusting so that you're willing to follow His voice. They hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. But that condition of life that none can take from you is conditioned upon the faith and trust in the shepherd and His guidance to follow wherever He leads. Then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, what about that provision? He's already talked here in our text about the provision of life, eternal life, which is a concept that includes all the blessings of Christ's work. And in Ephesians 1:3, when Paul wrote about it, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so all the spiritual riches of God's redemptive plan are culminated and found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as sheep, we don't know how to find life. We don't know how to guide our steps. We cannot provide the things that we need. But Jesus Christ said, I'm the good shepherd. I will guide My sheep. And those who trust Him will listen to the counsel that has been provided by the Holy Spirit through His apostles and prophets and written in your New Testament. To be a sheep of this shepherd implies, does it not, that I read this with trust, that I believe this is the steps for my feet, that the songs I just sang are real and genuine. I will follow Jesus, and that's why I'm going to make myself a student of the means by which He has set in place to provide the guidance and the provision that I need. But another thing that sheep need, they need nursing. They need restoring. They need saving. Sheep get in trouble, and if they don't have help, they'll die. They may get sick. They may get diseased. They may have a leg broken. A good shepherd knows about sheep. I wouldn't know about a sheep if it was sick, probably, or not, until it laid down and wouldn't get up. If it had a disease, I wouldn't know what to do for it. If he broke his leg, I would try maybe to fix it, but I wouldn't know the best procedure. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4, where the leaders of Israel are likened unto shepherds, but bad shepherds. Verse 4, those who are sickly, talking about the sheep, the people of Israel, those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The disease, you have not healed. The broken, you've not bound up. The scattered, we talked about sheep, will seek their own way, Isaiah 53:6. They'll go astray. the scattered, you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. But drop down to verse 16, talking about the time when he, that is God, would be their good shepherd. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. You need a shepherd that can recognize the sheep that bully the other sheep, that keep them from getting the nourishment they need, that wound the other sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know about nursing sheep. I know their habits. I know their needs. And so now we turn back to Psalm 23. Look at Psalm 23, verse 3. This very idea is right here in this great, great psalm. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's times sheep need restoring, lifting up, binding up, healing up the broken. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness. Back to our text in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Certainly not seeking the welfare of the sheep, but bringing wound and injury and loss. But look, I came that they may have life. And not just have life, but have it abundantly. The best, the highest quality of life. Look, he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He loves these sheep so dearly. He's so concerned for their welfare. He's willing to sacrifice even to the point of his own life to nourish them, to restore them, to save them. And then you look in verse 11, he said the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did, isn't it? He died for his sheep. And then if you look in verse 28, he said, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. Now that's nourishing. That's providing what sheep need. That's bringing dead people back to life. Sheep that are far away, bringing them back to the fold. That's sheep that have lost all hope, giving them hope. He said, I give them eternal life. And that's what this good shepherd does. But sheep sometimes, even after being restored, may wander away, may get hurt, and again they need nourishing and preserving and saving. In 1 John, in chapter 1, John is writing to the sheep of the shepherd, that is, Christians. And in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7, he said, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, let me rephrase that in different words. If we follow the shepherd in trust. That's the wording of John 10. And that's what he's talking about here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. We sang a while ago, he's the great example and pattern for me. But do you ever fail? Because of your poor choices, do you ever get wounded and need restoring? Continue reading. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses. Yes, he cleansed with a D, but he cleanses with an S. Or your version may have ETH. That is, he continues to nourish. He continues to restore. He continues to save by his death. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us
from all unrighteousness. Indeed, he is the good shepherd. But now, there's another thing sheep need. They need protection. I found it interesting that a man by the name of David said this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." What if that shepherd had not been courageous? What if that shepherd had been thinking only of himself? What if that shepherd was not willing to exert the effort to save the sheep? Now you go to Psalm 23. Who wrote that psalm? That same man that understood the need for sheep to have the shepherd who was willing to risk his life to protect those sheep and exert the effort and to be watchful and diligent to that end. And so you look at Ezekiel 34 and verse 28, these bad shepherds, what was the result to their flock? 38. They will no longer be a prey to the nations. That is, when the good shepherd begins to watch over them, they will no longer be a prey to the nations. And the beast of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. They don't have to fear. They can't fight off the lion and the bear and the fox and the wolf, but their shepherd can. They're fully confident of that. So wherever he leads, they'll follow. In Psalm 23, verse 4, written by David, the shepherd, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." I don't know what it'd be like a sheep, to be like a sheep and walk through valleys. You don't know what dangers may lurk around the corner, what may come down the side of the mountain. Especially if it's getting dark, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I won't be afraid, for you are with me. This great shepherd, he's got everything under control. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't have to have anxiety. I don't have to be fearful, because the good shepherd provides me the protection I need. Let's go back to John chapter 10, our text. You can see how all of this blends together, where we don't want to do injustice to John 10. We want to base our study on the things that are stated therein. But that's certainly highlighted when we go to a psalm written by a shepherd and see these very ideas in that great psalm that we have probably memorized from our youth, Psalm 23. In John 10, 12, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who's not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." Shoot, they're not my sheep. Let the wolf have them. I might get bitten. I might get killed even. So he takes off. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand. And he's not concerned about the sheep. Oh, he may be concerned a little, but he's not concerned like somebody that owns the sheep, who loves the sheep, who cares even to the point of their last blood about the sheep. That's what Jesus is talking about in our text in John 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we have this wonderful promise. The Corinthians were facing a number of temptations. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians. Unfortunately, they were succumbing to some. Paul goes back in the Old Testament and shows how God's people were exposed to temptations and often failed. And so God hasn't promised sheep that there won't be dangers out there. But he has promised If you'll follow the shepherd, there's no wolf, there's no bear, there's no lion. There's no danger out there that can hurt you. You'll be tempted. You'll be tried. But you can overcome. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken you, but it's such as common to man. And God is faithful. What does faithful mean? He's worthy to be trusted. You can put your full confidence in Him. What did Jesus say about these sheep? They know the voice of the shepherd. They trust Him. And that's why they listen to Him. And if we'll trust God and listen to Him, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. And here, Christ is making good on His promise, because the Holy Spirit has been sent to the writer of this letter. And He's providing them the guidance they need, and the assurance they need, and the warnings they need, that if they'll put their trust in the fact that this man who's writing this letter is a servant of this shepherd, acting under His authority and by the power He's been entrusted with by the Spirit of God, if they'll follow Him, they can overcome. Well, it's refreshing to read a chapter like John 10, to read about these wonderful promises that this man made nearly 2,000 years ago. And if you'd have been standing there at that time and listening to all of that, you might raise the question, yeah, that's great words, but how do I know you're that powerful and that wise and that devoted and that faithful? How do I know you can do all of that? You are who you claim to be. You say, well, Jesus would get mad if I asked that question. Oh, no, He wouldn't. No, He wouldn't. He would say, that's a good question. And here, let me give you an answer. Look at verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may, what? Know and understand. Not only understand, but have an understanding of confidence that the Father is in me and I in the Father. That I have a relationship with the God who you claim to worship and serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the words that I'm telling you are true. And I've given you objective proof. You know the miracles I worked. And they did not deny that He worked miracles. They may have said He did it by the power of the devil. But they could not deny He worked miracles. In our Bible class this morning, Todd made reference to that great sermon recorded in Acts 2. When Peter stood before that multitude of unbelievers. And he talked about the miracles Jesus worked in your presence, among you, as you know. So Jesus said, that's okay to ask that question. That's why I work miracles. So you can have reason to know and trust that He's the Good Shepherd. But look back at John chapter 10, and here's the ultimate evidence. In John chapter 10, in verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me. Well, isn't he going to die? Aren't they going to arrest him? And aren't they going to bind him? And aren't they going to slap him and spit on him and beat him and nail him to a cross? He said, yeah. But I'm willing. I could stop all of that. He said one time I could call 10,000 angels, a legion of angels. I lay my life down. I'm in control. I willingly do that for my sheep. But wait, there's another statement. So that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. Let me tell you what, folks. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you wouldn't be reading this. You might read in some ancient old history book about some little movement that happened in the first century. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to die. It's my choice. It's according to the will of my Father. You note the last statement. This commandment I received from my Father. It's not an accident. This was God's plan. But I'll tell you what else. You're going to see me again. I'm going to pick up my life. I'm going to be raised from the dead. Is that true? Listen, if you're in this audience and you're not taking advantage of the Bible classes right now that Todd McAdams is teaching on the resurrection, you're missing out, folks. I know some of you can't because you're teaching in the back. Get the recordings, listen to them. They'll strengthen your faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's how you can know that He is indeed
the Good Shepherd.
Now turn to the last song that we're going to sing today. Okay. I guess we all agree. He is the Good Shepherd, but there's more. What is entailed in this, I will follow Him? Well, here's what we're going to sing. Who will follow Jesus, standing for the right, holding up His banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders? Wait, where are you going to get them? Listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Second verse. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master? I'm just so busy. Wait, you said, He's my good shepherd. I will follow Him. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master, giving Him the praise? Earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love? You want anybody else to know about your shepherd? Leading others to Him. Lifting prayers above. Courage, faithful servant. In His word we see, on our side forever will this Savior be. Are you following Jesus? If we can help you follow Jesus. That's a question for every one of us, including me. If we can help you follow Jesus, come to the front and we'll talk about that as together we stand and sing.